This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mabel, can you do something for me, baby?
Yes.
Do one thing for
yes.
me. Can you just hold me one more time?
What bring you by here, honey?
I just wanted to have a nice dinner, everybody together.
You need to help her with her kids. Can't nobody bring a family together like you can. No.
Hallelujah!
Girl, I will stump a mud hole in your skinny, bougie.
What's a mud hole?
Byron, I want my money.
What are you talking about?
Byron!
Stop! Listen, we ain't together, okay?
Let me help you get these children over here.
Yes.
I ain't going.
I'm so glad you're here.
Could you lower your voice?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Everybody here's Madea.
Aram Dam Diddy.
You on the roll, girl. You on the roll.
Shake that.
Madea's big happy family.
Can I take your order?
Give me a ham, egg, and cheese biscuit.
We out of ham.
You out of ham. We got no damn ham. Oh! I'm taking everything you got.
This is the 8th episode of our 3rd season of Newcomers. It's me, Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
Oh boy, we are working our way through Tyler Perry's A Body of Work for the very first time with the help of Perry scholars, superfans, and sometimes people who've contributed. This season will be 10, maybe 15. We don't know yet. Maybe 13. I don't know. We love watching
We have
Tyler
to keep
Perry.
Going, and nothing has ever gone faster than these first 8 episodes.
I'm
like,
I
we
know.
Are zooming through this. It is so fun.
So much fun. So today, we have experienced another film within the Madea cinematic universe, the real MCU, Madea's Big Happy Family from 2011. And we're going to revisit some movies, TV shows in the weeks to come.
And if you want to watch the movie, it's on it's on Netflix, HBO, and Amazon Prime, as well as for a small fee on Apple TV and Google Play if you want to pay for it. Obviously, we're going to spoil the movie, so if you want to watch it first, go do that. I would highly recommend it, personally. Before we bring in our guest, Nicole, what did you think of the movie?
Okay, you texted me, you were like, I am laughing, I cried. I also laughed, and I woke up early to watch this. So at like 11:30 in the morning, I was like sobbing over this death. And
it's so intense. This movie truly goes everywhere that it could possibly go. It's very, very funny. It's really sad. Mm-hmm. It ends on a really funny note again. Cause actually when it was like the funeral, I was like, so he's just going to end a comedy with a funeral? Like, who does this? But then he didn't. He made it insane.
Oh my God. The last 3 minutes of this movie, Lauren, I was laughing so hard.
It was so funny. And the bloopers were great.
I mean, oh, I didn't watch the bloopers.
You gotta stick around for the bloopers. They're always good. I truly was like, and this movie is like an hour and 45 minutes. It went pretty fast. I feel like when Madea is present, time flies. I mean, I love the whole thing with the fucking burger place in the beginning.
Oh,
it's so
my
funny.
God. That was so good. Also, Teyonna Taylor, I didn't know acted. She was very funny.
What do you know her from?
She's a singer.
Oh, I don't
and
know her.
And she's in the Kanye West music video. Doom, doom, doom. Nope, that's not how it goes. Wait, uh-oh. Yeah. Doom, doom. Like, okay, she's like banging on the floor, and then she's like with her husband, and they're like sexy and oiled up, and then they're in a shower together. How does the song go? Doom, doom, doom. Maybe our guest can help me, but she's also looking at me like she doesn't fucking know. Oh, no. Doom, doom, doom.
Okay, well, let's bring our guest out. We're so excited for our guest today, Ray Sani. Ray is a comedian and writer who most recently wrote for the second season of HBO's A Black Lady Sketch Show, which we love. And she's also the co-host of fellow HeadGum podcast, The Cast, with Ray and Jacquees, with Jacquees Neal. Welcome, Ray.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Thank you
Ray,
so much for having me.
We're so excited. She told me right before we started that she had never seen a Tyler Perry film before.
Welcome.
Yeah. So this
I
is
know,
perfect.
I know. This is great for me. This whole thing, the idea of coming and talking to you guys about my first Tyler Perry experience was like a delight. Everything happened well.
I think this is a good movie too, as an introduction to the Tyler Perry universe. Wait, do you know what song I'm talking about? The Kanye West song where Teyonna Taylor's in the video.
I know the video and I know the song, but I don't know the name. But
okay,
that was Teyonna Taylor. I think froze all of Black America for like 2 minutes and 30 something seconds because she's doing sick choreography.
Yes,
and her like every muscle like possible for a human being to have, she uses and flexes while dancing. It's incredible. Wow.
She's also a really good singer. Her last album, she has since
she's
retired.
She's really talented.
But her last album was so good.
Lauren, maybe you remember her from My Sweet, what is that? My Beautiful Sweet 16.
Oh, My Super Sweet 16.
My Sweet 16. I just was Googling this and I did watch like all of that show.
Yeah.
So I probably,
at the time, she was like,
say it.
She was like signed to Pharrell. So Pharrell paid for her to have like a huge Sweet 16 birthday party.
Yes.
What a
yes.
treat.
But now she's like our age, I think. Yeah.
I think she's a little younger. I think she's like 32, 31.
It says she's 30.
It's Fade.
Fade. Yes. Fade. I don't know how any song goes.
I like your version.
Thank you. It sounds real dumb. Doom, doom.
Oh my God. Okay, go ahead.
Ray, you've never seen like a TV show of Tyler Perry's. You've never seen a movie. Have you seen clips at all?
Yeah, I've seen stuff. You don't live in America and have not seen something, Tyler Perry. And my mom is, you know, a very typical middle-aged African woman. Like, she just likes whatever syndicated sitcom is on television. And she's often getting her life to meet the Paines and something the Browns and all this stuff. Like, she loves, and she just puts on the OWN network, which is probably just Tyler Perry's stuff, right? So I've seen stuff in passing, and I know that guy, Mr. Brown, because of his like outrageous colored beard.
We gotta talk about Mr. Brown because I'm starting to feel like Mr. Brown is. I'm still confused. Like we watched Meet the Browns in the last episode, and we understood now that okay, he's the father of that woman that he in real life is married to.
Yeah. Yes,
but they're married.
It comes up at the top of this movie, and I swear to God. I tried to Google a Madea family tree and it was so confusing.
Well, it's because Madea is related
to so many people.
And when you get into this storyline of this movie, the family tree is very mixed up. I mean, yeah. By the time you get to the end.
I actually can't figure out, wait, how is Madea related to Loretta Devine?
She's she's her auntie.
Because
Shirley, I had to look this up like three times. Shirley, Loretta Devine, yeah. is the daughter of the very rude Miss Aunt Bam, who's hilarious. The funniest thing. Like the opening scene at the doctor, I was like, this is hysterical. Then it went on too long and I was like, this is sexual harassment. Oh my God, then it got funny again.
Don't you love like, how hilarious. They go on so long? Like, I feel like watching the bloopers was funny because at the end, like you see them improvise for a long time and then Tyler Perry is like, and we cut. Like he lets it go forever, mm-hmm. almost to the point where it becomes not funny and then he cuts it. But it's almost weird because you're thinking, okay, he's directing this as he's in the scene. Like especially the moments when he's Madea in the scene, directing it, letting this person improvise, but he also is going like, okay, it's not funny anymore. Okay, well, I'm going to say cut in a second. Like, he's, like, debating when it's how long it should go on. And there are points where he uses almost, like, not even the Madea voice when he's improvising. I'm like, he's not going to use this. Like, it's, like, it's weird.
I mean, they must have so much fun for the 3 days they shoot. You know what I mean? Like, the best 3 days of your life.
I got to know how long this movie took to make.
If you're only shooting for 3 days, that hospital scene should not have taken 45 minutes to do. Oh, I don't know why we did that. Why did we do that?
And there's so much improv in that scene. Mm-hmm. When you go to like the with the bloopers, like I think it's Mr. Brown talking to the doctor. He like asks him like, they just go on and on with like alt takes, like different lines he could say. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everyone is so funny that you would definitely want them to do that, but they are moving so fast. Like what movie was it that was shot in 8 days?
Acrimony.
Like it's unbelievable.
Days.
You can tell. Yeah.
I will say I did watch. So I like cut it right at the beginning of the bloopers. And I loved he was like, your eyes are real. And he was like, yes. And he was like, okay, your eyes real. I was like, oh, is he going to give you. And then in the movie, the doctor, you can see him trying to not break.
So
and
many
that to
people.
Me is so funny.
There are so I many scenes it. Where someone is just like smiling on the side. Like those kids, like when Madea is like mm-hmm. you know, yelling at the kids and trying to get them to act better, like they're just kind of like smiling at her like little devils. It's so funny.
Oh wait, and I gotta say, the end of the movie, you get a heavy traumatic thing that happened to I think Kim. And it's truly like it is just God. Like she was raped. Go upstairs and talk to your husband about it. And you're like, wait a minute.
Madea is such an interesting character because, and especially in this movie, you get to see like the depth of the character. Like she is mm-hmm. so ridiculous and crazy and like yells and is funny and whatever. But then she has like this power in the family where she's able to like put everyone in their place and like fix everything mm-hmm. and get everything right. And I was like, this is a great character. Like she comes in and she's like, your kids are raised wrong. Like you were raped by your uncle and you need to tell your husband. Like, oh my God, I just loved it.
But what was so confusing to me was like the movie could have been like 20 minutes long because all Shirley had to do was
yes,
call her kids individually. Yes. Like all she had to do was be like, I know you don't fuck with your sister right now, but Kimberly, please call your sister because I have cancer and we need to settle our affairs.
And it's going to be 4 weeks. And by the way, the picture of the cancer looked like a fucking x-ray of like vegetables. Like I was like, I rewound it. I was like, what is that?
I did not understand why we all needed to sit down in perfect harmony to hear that mom's dying in 2 weeks. I did not understand.
Like
it.
Time is running out. Like you have to tell
them. Time is of the essence. Also, did she not tell them she had cancer at all?
Ever. Because
and she'd been battling it, she said, for 7 years.
Oh, they never knew it's about, like, they never knew when she first had it?
I don't think so.
It doesn't, because
she
honestly,
didn't say it's back. She was like, I have cancer and I'm dying or whatever.
And even if, like, let's say she had told them in the past, if this important scenario where mom must talk to us, all of us together in one scene, in one setting, to give us important news. And we remember mom has had 7 years of cancer. Wouldn't we deduce that she's about to die and we should chill out a little bit?
Instead, they're like, no, we will not sit down. Also, Tyler Perry loves to reveal things at a dinner table.
It doesn't.
Yes.
And because and you unprovoked. Have to watch, what is it? Why Did I Get Married? There's this whole scene at the dinner table. Honestly, I have, since watching it, I have watched just that scene multiple times.
It's so fucking good. So well, they start revealing.
I don't
want to
ruin
like,
it. But.
Well, okay. It's just so good because it's like, it's a bunch of couples and they're on this like retreat. And basically one of them like reveals what's going on with one couple, like tells the secret that they've been keeping. And then everyone just like unleashes other secrets. And it's like so crazy. And all the secrets are so crazy. And you're like, this is why I like Tyler Perry though, because the shit gets so crazy and real. Like, I mean, not real like in anything I've experienced, but real in like the sense that like he'll just make the craziest statement, like, you were raped by your uncle. I'm like, what? Because it's a comedy. Like, it's just like we can go there. And so the movie always keeps you on your toes. Like, it's always interesting.
And I will say Tyler does something interesting. So in the beginning of the movie, comedy. Pure comedy. Then the comedy gets undercut by like, you're dying. And then we get back to the comedy and I'm like, that's not how anyone does it. Usually it's something serious that is then undercut. But I was like, honestly, I liked it this way. Cause I was like, oh no.
He does not care about structure.
No.
There's he's never studied how to write something.
No.
Like, it's just however he wants it to go. Even the fucking like opening credits were like 20 minutes long. I was eating dinner and I was basically done with it by the time it started. I was like, this cartoon that is playing of the whole, so it was almost like a sitcom opening of like everyone's got their thing. And then you're like, she has cancer. Medea's driving through a burger place.
It reminded me of Bebe's Kids, the movie. And I was like, okay. It felt to me like Tyler Perry had watched, like Tyler Perry created a movie that used tropes from every single thing he had ever watched and ever loved. And it was just like, okay, he likes this movie that he's seen with a sassy grandma. And he likes this. Definitely watched Soul Food 90 times and put that
I
in
love
there.
Soul Food. Maybe that's why I love Tyler Perry so much. I loved the drama. It's like heavy fucking drama.
That like the death scene. Know what really bothered me is I don't want to cast aspersions about Tyler Perry as a man based on this movie, but like I was like, this dude hates women.
The women suffer a little bit in the movie.
It's interesting because
I was like, geez, hold on a second. They made this oldest sister. Of course, she was beautiful, light-skinned, and rich. So she has to be evil, right? They made her, like, mean for no reason for
so
half the movie.
Mean. So
and I was
mean.
Like, what? Like, they made it look like her husband was the... He's the Old Spice guy. The
I
Old
know,
Spice
I
guy
know.
Is her husband. She's just terrorizing this poor Old Spice guy who's... siding with her family, even though he don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Mind your business, Old Spice. He's like jumping on the family side. Everybody's acting like she's just this horrible person for no reason. I'm loathing her because nobody offered her any humanity whatsoever. Didn't even see evidence of why Isaiah Mustafa's character would be into her. And then revealed at a dinner table because you in a fight with your sister that you got like we don't find out how, but Lil Bow Wow's your brother's son.
No, they say she was raped by her uncle, and I'm like, who's the uncle? Is it Joe?
Wait, was it Joe?
Well, I was like, it can't be Joe, right? Like, that's the other Tyler Perry character.
Yeah, no, it can't be.
That's too fucked up.
Like, you know what? I bet it's someone who married into the family.
I hope so too, because then I was like, now Bow Wow has to deal with this like incest. Yeah,
yeah.
Also, Bow Wow was real dense in that scene. I was like, how do you?
Oh my god, when he's like, Well, who's the kid?
You watched
then?
The baby?
So you watched that baby?
Where's the baby? At? Wait,
Emily, and she's I love like, you look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Like, that was the emotional moment. I was like, no, Tyler. The weight of this scene is not in figuring out that Bow Wow's the baby exactly. of the rape. It's that she was raped by an uncle and that her fucked up sister revealed it at a table.
Yeah.
That was where the emotion should happen.
And that so no like, one has given her.
Why didn't anyone love this girl enough
exactly.
to like pursue her and mm-hmm. like make her feel better? Like, and then for it to then be later revealed that that child was the child of rape by a family member, that makes it even worse that no one consoled her.
Yeah,
and
totally.
They were like, talk to your husband about it. What's he supposed to do? He didn't rape her.
He said, we're going to get you some help. And I was like, okay, finally. But I got to say, Bow Wow, Byron, took it rather well.
No, he took it too well.
That made me laugh every single time. That was so funny.
Byron, Tiana Taylor, I usually hate that character. I really do usually hate that, like, stereotypical, like, baby mama from the hood character, because it always feels like men making fun of or, like, being derogatory toward Black women in a way that makes me uncomfortable a lot, you know, just because it plays on tropes that like affect us in real life. But something about the way Tiana was doing it was so endearing.
I found it really funny, like in a way that I think she was adding so much to it. Like I felt like she was bringing her own like humor and flair to it. Mm-hmm. And like, the part where she comes in with that hat and then he calls her a leprechaun.
That made me laugh so hard.
I was dying. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. I feel like she brought something to it that was really different. And like,
and she was so charming in comparison to Lauren London, which isn't fair to either of the actresses. So I don't mean to compare them that way. But it was like, there was nothing... I don't know. It's, again, a misogynist movie because there was nothing written about Lauren London's character that made it make sense that Byron Jr. would want to be with her in the first place.
But I think that's a testament to Tiana Taylor, who made an unlikable character. You're not supposed to like the baby mama.
No, no.
You're not supposed to like the baby mama or the current girlfriend, though. And but I ended up wanting Bow Wow to get back with Tiana
me
Taylor.
Me too. Because she, like, she, like, just really made it her own. And you understood why Bow Wow was with her. Like, with Kimberly, you're like, why would anyone be with Kimberly? Kimberly is horrific.
Yeah.
But it's like, Sabrina, Tiana Taylor's character, wants her money. She's loud. But
she's
also
so mean.
A joy to be around.
Yeah, she's really funny. And also, there's a baby. Like, she cares about him.
Yeah.
It looks like to me.
Yeah.
Before we get into the summary, we should do our news media. So Tyler Perry received...
That's hilarious.
I love the parentheses after.
Tyler Perry received an honorary Oscar.
This was very exciting. I was like, we have our finger on the pulse.
We sure do.
Talking about the right thing right now.
He is finally getting recognized. So at the 93rd Academy Awards on April 25th, Tyler Perry dedicated his Hirsult Humanitarian Award to anyone willing to reject hate and stand in the middle with him. In selecting Tyler Perry to receive the award, the Academy cited a cultural influence extending far beyond his work as a filmmaker. I mean,
And they talked about all the stuff that he's done for, like, getting all of his cast and crew vaccinated. I mean, you know, making it safe for everyone. And I mean, I really liked his speech. I thought it was good. I thought he was, like, it made me... Because I feel like we haven't gotten into him as a person that much. And I haven't seen that, like, a lot of interviews with him. So that was kind of interesting to see after, like, being so in deep with his movies right now. But I like the story he told. I thought that was very moving. And he seems like a good person.
Yeah, I think he's a good person.
He's a good billionaire is what we're hoping.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, it seems like he enjoys his money, but not like in a flashy way. But then again, I don't follow him on Instagram. Maybe he is flashy with it.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, from what I've seen on his Instagram, that makes it to the shade room. I'm not here following Tyler Perry. It's just that sometimes he's like, he's feeling himself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He wasn't like in perfect shape when he started out, you know what I'm saying? But every now and then, like, Tyler Perry will post a thirst trap and you've got to start reckoning with so much in your head. You got to start being like, okay, I'm attracted to Madea right now. And then also you got to be like, oh, and my mom and my church friend, like her church aunties, are also getting their rocks off to this picture right now.
That's really
and
confusing.
And it's a very stressful thing.
Well, because he got divorced during the pandemic, right? So it's like he started, I think, working out. We saw one post where he was like announcing his divorce slash he's working
midlife
out.
Midlife crisis.
So he's doing the body like ex-revenge. Bad.
And like, yes, to be like, back. You shouldn't have left Tyler Perry.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much his ex got, actually. Were they actually married? Or were
I
they
I think
just...
they were just maybe partners.
That sucks.
I thought they got married, right? I know they definitely had
a baby.
They
have a kid, yeah.
Yeah, a man Tyler Perry. Which makes me laugh so hard. Let's
the kid's
see.
Name is a man or Amen, but I do think I really like a man, Tyler Perry.
So, okay, he did get married in 2009.
Okay. So now you Google and see if she got any money? I mean, that's
like
I'm curious.
She looks like an East African woman. I think.
If you divorce a billionaire.
I always look for when they marry foreign Nigerian, like Africa. I'm Nigerian, so I'm always looking for like, get you an African girl. Let's see. You know. So I hope she got half them billions.
I know.
I mean, let's see, dude.
I mean, he got Beyonce to come out all the way to Atlanta for a party. This is a big deal.
Really?
For the opening of his studios. Beyonce don't go nowhere.
Tyler Perry says his longtime girlfriend will get her share of his wealth.
See, maybe he is. See, this is the thing. I'm like, I think it's helping his cause as a good person that he would say she'll be getting money and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like people avoid even talking about that kind of thing when they're super rich, too.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much she got. I'm sure she got enough to never speak about it.
Yeah.
That's probably huge.
That's
my God. Do you think, like, you mean even speaking about their relationship? Because I'm very curious what is happening behind closed doors.
Right. She knows what to be quiet about. There's an NDA, I'm sure.
Honestly, I bet you he pays her enough to not even have an NDA.
Oh, you
yeah,
you're
like, just
this
like,
could
I'm
all
fine.
Go away, friend.
She's not stupid enough to fuck up the money.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah.
Nicole, you know the part where they're in the mansion that's like for sale?
Yes.
I was wondering if it was his house again, because it looked like that house.
Ooh, I wonder.
But then I was like, would he use it again? I feel like because he said he didn't want to, they messed up his house, so maybe he wouldn't do it again.
But they were only in that little part, so.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, he used his own house in Acrimony as like the set for like, which is
that makes
wild.
No sense. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would
no
not
reason.
Have all those people in my house. God damn.
No, I don't think he realized. About that. He was like, they messed up my floors. And it was because it was, why did I get married? It was Diary of a Mad Black Woman, his first
you're
movie.
Right.
So he didn't, I don't think he truly understood how many people would be coming in and out.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the house was nice. That was another thing. I like didn't understand how one of the kids was so much better off than every other kid.
Oh my God, yeah.
And like, there wasn't an explanation about why that was so or why she didn't help her siblings. I just didn't get it. Like,
I know.
If I were wealthy and selling multi-million dollar houses, my little brother would not be a drug dealer. I mean, that's
right.
Just,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
You'd have to assume. But she's so angry at the family.
Because they didn't do anything to help her. So why would she help them?
Which they should have told us way before 2 minutes before a whole Maury episode.
Where Maury's like literally doing an episode. I'm like, oh, I think they were just like, do whatever you would do in real life. Because he like fully.
It was a full episode. A full episode.
Oh, but, it made me so
happy. But
this
is Tyler Perry. This is what he does. He will not tell you a reason why you should feel for someone until maybe at the end. And even then you might not even get it. And a lot of it is like the morality play of it all, where it's like, oh, you, it's very clear this person is evil. We do not like them. And then by the end, you're like, but the reason why was she was raped by her uncle. And then you're like, oh, and so then it's like it puts everything in perspective. It's like it's not smooth, so it feels like very, it does feel like misogynistic to be like,
and it doesn't feel like the illumination did anything to make the character more relatable or understandable, because pardon my language, I still thought she was a cunt after she they told me that.
Well, like, she had a moment. She had a moment.
But there's a reason as to why she's a cunt.
Well,
but,
then, it, like, like, it shows something along the way. Like, show a really sweet moment between her and her husband to explain why he would stay when through this obvious emotional abuse. Or like, show her hug her mother, even if it's when the other siblings aren't around.
And then she doesn't even get to see the mom until she's dead. And that was
They didn't get the moment.
Like, that was really sad.
And that felt very punishing of the daughter. Yeah. It felt very like, look, you're such a shithead. You don't even see your mom die when she'd been assaulted by her uncle.
And
like,
no one told her why she was in the hospital. Like, she walks in the hospital like, she's going to be fine. I'll see you later. Like, and has that all sprung on her, and it is really messed
up. It's like, I'm resentful of this family who is making me pretend that the product of my rape is my brother. So no, I didn't answer the phone call, and now my mom's dead. Like, that's things you should tell me.
It's not fair. There is that point in the beginning when Bow Wow's like, I don't keep a secret from you, mom, just like you would never keep a secret from me. And then like,
so
my head, I'm going, I wonder what the secret is.
Yeah, I truly was like, ooh, a big secret's gonna happen.
Yeah, I know. I was like, slap me in the face. You know what I mean? Like, you could be a little subtler, my friend, you know?
No, that's the thing about Tyler Perry. Nothing is subtle.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. We'll get into the whole movie.
Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Okay. So this movie was written by Tyler Perry. It was directed by Tyler Perry. It was released on April 22nd, 2011. Okay, so let's jump into this plot here.
Okay. So Medea's niece Shirley goes to a visit at her doctor's office, or a visit with her doctor at the hospital. She's joined by Aunt Bam, who's her aunt and Medea's first cousin. The doctor lets Shirley know that her cancer has gotten worse and she may only have a few weeks to live. After the appointment, Shirley asks Aunt Bam to call her children so she can invite them to dinner and let them know the news. I was like, wow. Why can't you call your children? One.
Also, I didn't realize that was like the first line of the movie and it takes us hours to get to dinner.
Also, we need to say that Aunt Bam smokes weed in the hospital.
She's fucking hilarious. She's like constantly high. Yeah, she's, and they let her say whatever she wants, the mm-hmm. actor, which I loved.
Does marijuana make you grope doctors? Has that ever been a side effect? Is that sativa or indica? I need to be
Yeah, I've
careful.
Never smoked in a hospital, but so I don't
also,
know.
Also, she touched the doctor's chest and then she like turned her butt on the doctor. She was like, yep, he's straight. I was like, and wait, like, is this doctor? Heart.
He has a boner.
Yeah,
that
I was like, did this turn him on? This whole carrying on
That's
turned
disgusting.
Him on. Okay.
Okay, so Cora and Mr. Brown, our favorite characters from Meet the Browns, are also mm-hmm. at the hospital getting Mr. Brown a checkup. The doctor tells them he has to do a colonoscopy on Mr. Brown, and they find a growth that needs to be removed. I mean, I think Mr. Brown is very funny. I think this character is really funny. I just cannot, I can never wrap my head around this relationship between this woman who's the exact same age as this man and supposed to be his daughter. And
daughter.
Plus I feel like her calling him Mr. Brown also throws me off because it feels
it's
like that's what she's
so
saying to her
strange.
Husband or something.
She also calls her mother Medea.
But also in real life, they're married. That's what trying to find uh-huh. out the Medea family yes. tree led me to. So I was like, is he her husband in this movie? Is he her dad?
That's what you
so
think,
confused.
But that's her dad who's the same age as her. She calls him Mr. Brown.
Is she Medea's daughter?
Yes.
And so Medea and Mr. Brown.
So he's Medea's former lover?
Yes, but only for like 32 seconds.
Yeah, which she also subtracts down to 14 by the time she's on board.
Okay. So he pumped once and she dumped
yes.
him. Got it.
In a graveyard.
But a baby came.
A baby came, yes.
But yeah, why does she call Madea? Why does she call her mom Madea?
I have, that's why it's confusing. That's why I had no idea.
Mom. I know. Okay.
Meanwhile, Madea enters a drive-thru for a restaurant called Snacks. Madea tries to order from the breakfast menu, but the woman working the window is talking on her cell phone. Madea demands her attention and tries to order again, but is told she missed the cutoff time for breakfast. She has to speak to the manager only to find out the woman working in the window is the manager. Madea is enraged and drives her car into the restaurant with no repercussions.
Nothing happens after that. The only consequence is that the girl who worked at the place later sees Madea and they is like upset. Like it's like nothing, but that doesn't matter at
all. That's it.
So I'm just trying to understand if the woman who ran, wouldn't you know that that's your baby daddy's great aunt?
You're telling me you've never met Madea? Like it's like you are basically related to her.
Uh-huh.
And yes. Madea is such a, you know, a figure you can't ignore.
She's not your standard great aunt or whatever she's supposed to be to them. So, like, I'm sure Byron would have had stories about his crazy ass aunt.
And so, they all live in the same town. It's like
it doesn't sound like it's a big town. Yeah. So aside from the fact that Madea never gets arrested, citations, nothing for destroying the car whole property of a chain restaurant.
Driving a whole car into a restaurant.
Literally nothing
happens. The fact
happens.
The baby mom, was she Sabrina? She didn't know who she was at all, was absurd. And when she saw her, didn't report her to the cops or anything?
No, Madea gets to just wreak havoc. The restaurant doesn't even complain. Everything's fine. So Shirley's children, Byron, Tammy, and Kimberly, arrive at Shirley's house for dinner. Byron brings his girlfriend, Renee. Oh, I was mixing up Renee and Sabrina in my head. Okay, so Renee and his baby, Byron Jr. Tammy arrives with her husband, Harold, and their two sons. Kimberly arrives with her husband, Calvin. Tammy and Kimberly argue when Byron's ex-girlfriend and the mother of his son, Sabrina, arrives. Sabrina is revealed to be the manager from Snacks, who wouldn't serve Madea earlier. Sabrina annoys Byron by addressing him as a drug dealer. Byron, Sabrina, and Kimberly leave the dinner with their respective families due to the constant arguing, and Shirley doesn't get the chance to tell the family about her cancer. I'm like, at that point, you just yell it
out. I have cancer. Also, I love that Sabrina's like, he's dealing dope. And then Aunt Bam is like, let me get a dime bag. And I was like, wait, so we're using dope for just weed? I was like, dope is heroin. Like, do you want a bag of heroin?
Yeah, dope is like I feel like it's something older people would say about weed.
Yeah, old people call it all dope, I think. They do.
So that night, Byron is arrested by the police for failing to pay child support. Shirley goes to Kimberly's house to ask her to bail him out, and Kimberly refuses. Calvin helps with the bail. Wait, before that, the men have this conversation about how mean their wives are to them.
And one's like, I gotta get divorced.
That was when I was like, oh, this is a misogyny. Okay, I'm cool with that. I'm here. I'm clear. I'm like, because with the exception of Old Spice Guy, both you, Harold, and Byron ain't shit. What are we complaining about?
Oh, my God. I know. I'm like, wait, Harold is the one who works at, wait, where does he work? Like the car place or something? Yeah. So
and
he
doesn't discipline his kids or seem to help his wife.
It's like, I'm not rooting for him at all when he's trying to like bring her flowers or whatever. I'm like,
no,
you're annoying. And like, she's kind of right to tell you to fuck off. Like, it was just like, you're not a good parent and she's not doing worse than you. Like, it's, I don't know. I thought that whole thing was really weird.
And then with Byron, like, I'm not to say that, you know, people in like formerly incarcerated people don't deserve another chance, but it's like, bro, you just got out while I held your baby down while you were in prison. Like, I get to complain about what you owe in terms of money while I raised your child when I'm the custodial parent. Like that, I mean, it just seems like a weird bashing woman session that wasn't necessary.
No, and you're right, because we don't really get any of that from the women's side. Like, we don't get to hear them say anything together or have like a moment that would balance that at all. It's truly just okay. The next day, Aunt Bam tells Madea about Shirley's cancer prognosis and the family situation, and Madea promises to gather all Shirley's children for another dinner that evening. She goes to Harold's auto repair garage where Tammy works with him. While there, Medea demands they go to the family dinner. She also scolds their sons for their disrespectful behavior, which was fucking funny.
She just slaps this kid.
Oh my God. It was very funny. Medea then tracks down Byron. As she arrives, Byron is being fired for arriving late after his night in jail. Medea demands that Byron attend the dinner. She then tracks down Kimberly, who's in the middle of showing a house to a real estate client. And after Medea threatens and embarrasses her, Kimberly also agrees to attend the dinner.
When she is disciplining the kid and she's like, you say thank you? And the kid's like, thank you? Thank you.
Afternoon? Like, afternoon. The kids are so funny.
With like kind of a smile creeping on his face being like, thank you? Afternoon? I know.
I actually wondered if that was supposed to be like that or if they just started doing it back to
Tyler. I think it was improvised and it made me laugh so hard.
It was really funny.
What would you do if you have never been slapped in your entire life? And you got to say whatever you wanted your entire life. Uh-huh. And here comes this 6'5", gray-haired lady slapping the shit out of you.
Swinging titties. I think it would shock me. And I'd be like, yes, yes.
You definitely don't want to get hit again.
Like, I think I would have been frozen silent, too. Like, holy
Meanwhile, Mr. Brown loses a lot of blood after his procedure and the doctor asks Cora to donate. When she does, she finds out she doesn't have the same blood type as him, implying that he may not be her biological father. And I mean, wow.
Dude, is that how... Do you,
I was about to say, I don't think blood type DNA works like
that. That's not how blood type works.
No.
They didn't tell us that she was like O negative and he was AB or something.
But maybe that's what they're trying to tell us, that it's like an impossible... blood type
like would never work.
You're gonna, they're gonna need to explicate for me. Okay,
that whole thing was so crazy, though. So like, I don't know how old she's supposed to be at that point, like 50 or something, mm-hmm. and she's finding out that her dad is not her dad. But then we find out when she's on Maury that she was told that a couple of years ago that mm-hmm. he was her dad. So it's like they just started having this relationship. I don't know.
Oh, so maybe that's why she calls him Mr. Brown, because she's always just been this elder to her. And then she finds out that Mr. Brown is actually her dad. And she's like, well, I don't feel comfortable calling him daddy. He hasn't been
that
around.
Actually,
he's Mr. Brown.
That makes so much sense that I'm almost like giving Tyler Perry props that I almost think he doesn't know that he meant to put him there. like it makes so much sense, but you're like, oh, there's no way that was on purpose. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's just like his name is Mr. Brown.
I have a question. Is it understood that Medea was a thought? Like, no slut shaming.
No,
just is it understood
never...
that Medea was getting around?
I don't think that was ever said. I feel like that was so offhand, like offhandedly said in this movie, like, mm-hmm. where she's like, well, just so you know, like it was like kind of thrown in there to kind of explain why it's possible that Mr. Brown is not her father.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It felt just like a way to kind
of
get
like,
through it.
Because I'm wondering now, it's like, was Medea one of these naughty girls who then found Jesus? Because now all she does is quote scripture.
I feel like yes, because she's like had her license taken away. So in the beginning of Medea goes to jail, it kind of explains.
Okay.
Well, like, now I'm thinking about how they're making that show based on Medea as a 20-year-old or whatever. So I'm like, so is she going to be like hot?
Is she probably going to be hot? Are we going to find out that she's like a stripper?
That's really funny. I don't even know what to do with that.
We need more information about this series. I need to know if Tyler Perry is playing young Medea. I need to know if a man is playing Medea or if a woman is playing Medea.
If it's a woman who's just like
hot. It's not
going to
be funny in the same way if a woman is playing Medea.
I do agree. I feel like it needs to be a man, but I also feel like I don't know that it can just be anyone. Like it's such a specific thing to be doing.
Are they going to do like Martin Scorsese style CGI to his face and make him so young?
That would be so awful.
Honestly, I'm kind of here for it. I'll watch every fucking episode.
Well, I'll watch it, but I'm not happy about it. So, okay. At dinner that night, Tammy and Kimberly argue and Tammy reveals that Kimberly had a child at 13 years old. Already a huge reveal.
Huge.
Byron realizes that he is Kimberly's son and storms off.
And
after
no one reacts.
No one helps him.
That's a Tyler Perry thing where huge, heavy fucking secrets are revealed and everyone sits there and nods their heads.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, So nobody's gonna comfort the boy. No one's gonna comfort her.
No one.
Mom's not gonna say shut the hell up to the sister.
I know, they all just let it happen. So Harold puts his foot down. This part was kind of weird to me, and tells Tammy to start respecting him after Medea's urging. Later that night, Kimberly and Calvin continue to fight. Calvin leaves the house with their son. Okay, so when Harold and Tammy, when he's like telling her, like he suddenly starts yelling at her, like, you need to respect me. And she, and he looks off at Medea like, I'm doing it. Like, you know, it's like, it's like kind of like,
and she kind of gets like turned on. She like touches her collar and she's like, okay.
She likes it. And then it's weird because she can see that he's being told what to say by the two women over there, but she doesn't care. And she's just like, this is working for me. And like, you are putting me in my place, which like, why? She's like so strong.
And it was so weird, right? Because none of the reasons that the absence of desire were resolved by his tone, right? Like, because she's mad he doesn't help with the family, right? So it's not like the issue is that he don't talk to her the way a man should talk to a woman. This, like, outdated notion of what that is anyway. But, like, he also isn't bringing anything different to the table. Why was this sexy?
I know.
I don't know. Also, only one of their kids is at the dinner. I guess they couldn't get the other kid for that day.
Like, has to go to school.
There was only one kid there. When they were like, oh, run along, go upstairs. I was like, wait, only one? Okay.
Also, that's really funny.
The night he brought her flowers and she's got like cream on her face.
Pure white piles of whipped cream.
Yeah, she goes to sleep like that. And I was like, you're not going to rub it in or wash it off?
She gets in bed. And I was like, so that's going to be all over your pillow in 1 second. Like, it's not going to get hard. It's a pile. I mean, it was truly whipped cream.
So when Byron and Renee go to the drugstore, they see Sabrina on the store's TV, which is funny because the night before, Sabrina goes, I need to leave and go to the TV station, which is like, wait, what? And then you find out the TV station is the set of Maury Povich. So she's doing an episode of Maury. Sabrina humiliates Byron by publicly demanding her child support. This finally pushes Byron over the edge, and he reluctantly decides to go back to drug dealing, which is so funny that he like looks at a TV, hears, Byron! And he's like, gotta go deal drugs, bye bye.
Also, like, what, like, why? why
Maury?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I was wondering about that.
so why Maury? Yeah, because I mean, yes, but also, like, why? Why be so insistent upon the fact that you are on the right track? That was, I'm here for my son. I'm doing things for my son. And you catch a trash ass clip 30 seconds on TV. And now you done forgot what your parole stipulations are. Like, what the fuck are we here doing? It's like, oh, is the job that he lost the only job in town?
Yes, it's one or the other. You work this one singular job or you deal drugs.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, dude, become a male stripper or some shit. Like, what do you mean? Be an escort. Bow Wow was still cute back then.
He was.
You know, I'm sure he could have, you know, smashed some old ladies for a little cash. What you dealing drugs for?
So, okay, Shirley's condition worsens. She goes to the hospital. Byron, Tammy, Harold, and Calvin arrive to see her. She tells them that she loves them and dies shortly after. Really, in a very chill fashion. She's like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Medea,
well, she was like, where's Kimberly? And then they were like, not here yet. We called her 100 times. She's never going to answer. And she's like, tell her I'm waiting. So I thought she was going to hold on until Kimberly got there and then die when Kimberly got there. Mm-hmm. But instead, she said, I can't wait no longer. No. Oh, bye-bye.
Why wouldn't you, if Kimberly isn't answering the phone, text her, hey, you need to pick up this time. It's about mom. It's serious. And then text her husband, who you all seem to love more than your sister. Tell Kimberly mom's in the hospital. It's serious.
Well, yes. I mean, it's like he was already there, right? Then she gets there and he's like, she's dead.
Yeah, and he goes, like, your mom died. She dead. your mom died. And I was like, oh, we messed that line up.
It was not good. But then her reaction was felt really real. Everyone was crying a lot. I was like, I was very impressed by all that. I find crying to be challenging. But okay, so
in real life,
on camera, I'm like, thinking about 20 things. Okay. So Madea confronts the family after Shirley's funeral. So Madea doesn't go to the funeral, by the way, which I thought was
which
funny.
Is so wild. She was
and
like,
the funeral was amazing.
Oh, it was so good. That woman singing. Ooh, wee.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I was sobbing and it felt real.
I was also crying.
I too would not go to a funeral.
Really?
I would never go to a funeral.
You've never been to a funeral?
I've never been.
Too much or what?
I don't know that grief is a thing that I can do well. And
sure.
I don't know it's a thing that I can do in front of other people. And if you are directly related to the person, no one directly to me in my immediate family has died. But if I can't imagine having to be strong for other people when I'm also at my worst, so I probably would not go. Like, I would go maybe put a flower on my mom's grave or something, but I would not sit through a whole program and then, you know, go to and perform a eulogy or anything like that. I don't think I'm strong enough.
Well, I think your reason makes a lot more sense than Madea's.
Than Madea's.
She literally just said, it's loud.
I was like, it's too loud? I'm like,
I was like, you a rude bitch. You are half of the noise, by the way.
Yeah, it'd probably be like your tits hitting the wall when you walk in. So, okay, so she tells them Shirley was a peaceful woman who would not have wanted their incessant fighting. Madea confronts Sabrina about abusing Byron's money and tells Byron to get a respectable job. And she then tells Byron and Sabrina they need to work as a team to take care of their son. So she's putting everyone in their place.
Yes. After addressing them, Madea tells everyone Shirley didn't want them to know that Kimberly had been raped by her paternal uncle when she was 12, which resulted in her pregnancy with Byron. Madea urges
Kimberly.
Which is Kimberly,
why she's telling everyone right now.
Paternal uncle. Paternal uncle. Doesn't that mean that he was related then?
No. So it's her father's.
Yeah, their dad's brother.
But I mean, that is not married in.
So it is her blood relative.
Yes, but it's not so part
Bow
of Madea's family.
Not part of Madea's family, but it is Bow Wow's.
Incest.
Bow Wow's grandfather. Right? Or Bow Wow's
uncle.
Uncle. Bow Wow's uncle is also his daddy.
Oh, so wait. Bow Wow's great uncle is his uncle,
is also his
who's
daddy.
His daddy.
That's actually really horrible. Okay.
Yeah. Just to be like skipped over.
And like, can it just be someone who's not in the family for the sake of this insane dramatic storyline they're going to just throw in the last 20 minutes? Like,
and also like he seems cool. Like, I would have so many questions about, you know, God forgive me for being this ignorant about incest, but I would have questions about illnesses, diseases, like that sort of thing. Trauma on my mom, trauma on me, abandonment issues.
His son is now a product of that.
What did we do to the uncle when we found out? Is he in jail?
Is he still living?
From the family?
Where is he?
He did not have a single follow-up question. He just went like, wow, no one told me. My mom kept a secret. I'm like, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
Like, who cares that your mom didn't tell you at this point?
Your mom was raped as a kid by someone everybody protected,
but even
either protected or trusted.
He's
so.
Saying Loretta didn't tell him who he says is his mom or whatever. So that's like, you know what I mean? Like, you are totally, like, no one told you is not the problem. The problem is your whole life is a lie. Like, this is hard.
Yeah. So Madea urges Kimberly to forgive her uncle for her own sake. Kimberly and Calvin reconcile.
That made me wanna punch
everything. I was like, I don't think she needs to forgive him. This is something she's been dealing with for so long. I think she needs like full therapy. Also, when Byron breaks up with what's her name? Renee. I was like, okay, this has been a long time coming because after she, I think, has heard everything and is like, oh my God, I just found out that my boyfriend is the product of rape by a paternal uncle. Yo, you got to do that drop. I was like, wait, girl, like, there's so much more happening then right. for him to do a drop. And then I was like, what is the drop? Is it drugs? Is it money? What is the drop?
It seemed like drugs to me.
That was very subtle at the beginning when she's like, it's just one drop. And I was like, okay, what? And then I felt like I had to hear it five more times. I was like, it's one drop.
One drop.
Stupid. Okay, so the film ends with Madea, Mr. Brown, and Cora on Maury, which was a huge uplifting moment, trying to find out if Mr. Brown is in fact Cora's father. Madea insists that he is, but Maury reveals he is not. Mm-hmm. Madea is shocked. She runs off stage sobbing hysterically.
That was hilarious.
Ridiculous.
I gotta say, what a beautiful parody of a Maury show where the woman who's saying that the baby is his just repeats herself. That's your baby. That's your baby. That's your baby. And then when Madea starts cursing, and I don't think I've heard Madea curse.
No.
Not
but
really.
She starts cursing explicit, like the show. Really. It's so funny to me that they bleep whole sentences.
And there's a really, oh my God, she was just bleeping for the entire time. And then there's a really funny blooper where she's like, there's a security guard who comes out and she's like, you're blocking the camera. You're blocking the camera. No, you're actually blocking the camera. We can't use this. Move or whatever. It was great.
That is so
the best
funny.
Moment for me in that Maury Povich parody was, because it's always my favorite, the guy who desperately wants to be the father sees a picture of himself mm-hmm. next to the baby. And the baby is so obviously not mm-hmm. his. One time, there was a white guy with a white woman, and the baby was black. And he was like, it looks like me. She is Jamaican in her family. Or something like that. And I loved it. I loved everything. Not that Cora is a different color than Doc or Mr. Brown. They're obviously both black, but that complexion difference was doing a lot.
And they just look nothing alike. Like, it's so funny for that moment.
It's literally perfect. I really liked this movie.
Well, and then he goes,
I think, too.
Oh my God, me too. I think it was a blooper. I don't think it was in the thing, but then he goes, when he's like told that he's not the father, he says he's like attracted to her and he wants to date her. And then she's like, what? Ew.
Which is great because they're married in real life.
Because they're married. And so it's going to be so fun to like
so
shoot that.
Funny.
I loved it. I did remember when I started to watch it, I was like, look, I'm about to watch a Tyler Perry movie. And I spent my last 15 years like on purpose avoiding it. And honestly, like within the first 3 minutes, I got out loud guffaws.
Yeah.
And so I feel very bad for having judged Tyler movies mm-hmm. in advance without having seen them, because they're not any worse than most bad comedy movies. And
totally.
I found them really relatable. I found them somewhat relatable. Very absurd, but I had a good time.
I also had a good time. This film did not receive any awards or nominations.
Aww. He often gets something. Mm-hmm. Critically, the film was not well received. It currently has 32% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well,
that feels about right.
Yeah, I mean, I still laughed a lot.
I laughed so much. However, some critics noted that it was the best Madea film to date. A critic from Entertainment Weekly wrote, now that I've stated what feels like the inevitable complaint about Tyler Perry's tendency towards overly shrill, broad, bombastic, let me say, while I was watching Madea's Big Happy Family, I couldn't deny that it plays.
Audiences like the film for the most part. And this is always what it is, giving it a 74% mm-hmm. audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. And the film's budget was $25 million. That's a pretty
that's
high
pretty
for
big for and
that's to pay for what? Bow Wow and Taylor.
And it ranked number two at the box office on its opening weekend. And by the end of its run, it grossed $53 million domestically.
Doubled the budget? That's not so bad.
Nope.
He tends to do that. I feel like he makes the money back. So it's like, you know, you can't really say it was a failure. Mm-hmm. It's like making money.
Yeah, none of his movies are failures.
And also, it's like very clear he's a playwright.
Yeah.
When it's writing, you know, he writes monologues a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, if I'm glad for him that he doesn't seem to care what the establishment thinks about his work. If he wanted to be doing more establishment worthy or respected stuff, all he would have to do is like chop some dialogue in half and then insert some platform. The fact that, like, I don't know, that the death happened off camera for one of the characters was disappointing to me, though. But, like, yeah. Other than that, I mean, I thought it was, I thought it was great. I had a good time. I expected to come on here and be like, guys, this sucked.
But yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, going into this, I was like, we're gonna have fun. I honestly didn't realize how much fun I would have.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. And I thought I would get sick of it eventually. Mm-hmm. Like,
no, I want more Madea.
I want more too. I figured by like eight in, I'd be, because I feel like by eight in, when we're doing Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, we're like, oh my God, we're only halfway done. Like, it starts to feel like crazy. This is very fun. And they're each so different. And like every week, I feel like we watch something that's, it's like it has a lot of the same components, but there's a totally different energy to it. Mm-hmm. And we have The Oval coming up next.
Oh boy.
Which is that one that we saw online.
This clip was so nasty, God. Ray. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's this kid like jerking off to this woman very calmly telling him not to do it. And then he throws his cum at her.
What?
It's not funny, excuse but it's me? So wild.
It's sick, and it's a
it's
TV
also
show.
Very Silence of the Lambs. What are we doing?
It's honestly so messed up. I'm so curious. We're going to watch the pilot of that show. So I'm like, something crazy is going to happen in that pilot, of course.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love you Tyler Perry's brain.
Tyler Perry represents a true step toward equality, which is that if we can celebrate open black mediocrity, we're in a place that we've never been before. And
is it mediocrity? It's because I am not. Thoroughly like, entertained by all, like, I don't look at my phone. And when I miss something, I rewind, not to talk about it on the podcast, but because true. I've missed chunks of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. And then you don't miss.
And I'm like,
and you're
whatever.
Fine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I recognize what you're saying and I agree, but I would like for it to sound like he cares sometimes. So like leaving out the fact that girl had been raped by an uncle for 40 minutes, 100 minutes almost. It felt, I was like, ugh.
But that's a Tyler thing. So in Daddy's Little Girls, Idris Elba's character had been accused of rape and you don't hear about it till an hour into the movie, and you're like,
you know this
what?
Character, and then you find out that he was accused of rape and like went to jail, I think.
Yes.
And then you find out it was all a lie like, later that like that the person falsely accused him. So you're like, I just went on basically the roller coaster of someone in his life at this point that I thought it was real. I don't like him anymore. Now now it's not real. So I have to reconcile with that. Like he does that though. And I do think it's like, I think he,
oh my God, this is a morality thing. So it's like we were judging Kimberly before we knew what Kimberly was going through. So it's like when someone is hateful and mean, maybe you have to dig a little further. I figured
this
it
is,
out.
This is actually really interesting.
Yes, but
okay, go ahead, Ray.
I agree that that's so, but that's not fair because it feels like if that's the lesson we are meant to learn, it shouldn't be me experiencing that. It should be the characters in the movie experiencing that.
That's,
you know,
such
what I mean?
A good point.
It, yes, for me, fair. I shouldn't have to, like, the only thing I had to go on was this beautiful, rich sister in this family was a cunt to everybody for no reason. And then, boom, here's a reason. And then we see the family not respect this traumatic thing for her. And so it's like, there wasn't a thing that I learned about myself through watching this. I learned that the writer of this movie has no problem dumping on this character and then revealing her most intimate secret in public, and that the rest of them seem to continue to punish her for it. Like,
no, I think that's such a good point, because I do think when we've talked about these movies with the sort of morality play, like, you know, way of looking at it, like, okay, so we hate this guy, but then by the end we realize that he's good in these ways or whatever, you know, he's not just evil. Then he suffers, and you're right though, that the characters in the movie never have the same realization that I'm having as the viewer. And that is a necessary part of the storytelling to say, like, and then they respected her, or they, like, then they listened to her.
I forgive you, sister mom. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the mom part was there.
Oh my
Let's
God.
Let's work through it.
And the part when Loretta dies, and then I can't remember the character's name, comes, she's late or whatever. And she's just like, I'm so sorry. And we don't even like, you just see the back of Loretta's head. And then it's just like, that's it. That's all she gets to do is say, I'm sorry to a dead person. It's like,
body. Yeah.
It's not fair.
But it was funny. The movie was funny. The movie was funny.
That's the thing. No. We can complain. We have like all these complaints, but we're like, I still liked it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I still thought it was really interesting. Like, I was never bored. I wanted to see what happened next. So, you know.
I also thought Loretta Devine's performance, I thought, was like quietly powerful.
I agree. I agree. I like her.
Yeah.
She sure played tired.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was like, I think that's what I mean. Her eyes were fully closed. She's not all right.
She was just tired. She was tired.
She was so tired that she couldn't make a phone call. I need you to call my children. Right. You want to watch all my children? That got me.
That was a good impression.
That was another thing.
Thank you.
I was like,
I love Loretta.
I don't know if I like this or if I don't like this, but then by the end, I think I liked it. Everybody was stupid in the movie, right? There was so many mishearing and like pun jokes. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the Mr. Brown character. Like a bunch of people did it. And I was like, oh, everyone's stupid except Madea in this universe. I got
well,
it.
Well, no, Madea does call DNA Dana. So
Dana, that's true too.
You gotta find the Dana.
This is kind of the balance that I find for myself, at least with accepting the misogyny, is that I'm like, the characters are really fun to play. So I'm like, even if you are, there's that, even the really mean woman who was raped, it's like she gets to be like a total crazy bitch the entire movie, which is pretty fun. I don't know, as an actor. But I was worried about the little kid who was getting, like the really little kid who was getting yelled at and stuff. And she's like, play with it this way or whatever. Like she was like yelling at him. And then she's like, the kid seemed to be taking it in. And I was just concerned that he was witnessing a lot of yelling. Yeah.
Yes. When he takes the baby looks like it's in peril. And I was like, oh boy, this poor baby's gonna have flashbacks to filming this movie and think it's his life.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I one time had to make a baby cry and scream with a baby in a scene. And it felt so bad. I was like supposed to be yelling at my husband through a window with this crying baby. And I'm like screaming and the baby wouldn't cry. And then the director came over and went, look in the baby's face. And it started crying. And then we went and I was like, this feels bad. Like I was really worried about this little baby. But it was interesting to experience. Okay, so let's do some trivia here. So this is the 11th film in the Tyler Perry film franchise and the 5th in the Madea franchise.
Okay.
The film was based on the play of the same name, which debuted in 2010. Okay. Perry began writing the play after the death of his mother in 2009. Shirley is based on her.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa. Okay. And that was 1 year later this movie came out. Cassie Davis is the only cast member from the stage play to reprise her role in the film as Aunt Bam.
Huh. Okay. So I guess Mr. Brown wasn't in the stage play. Oh, he might have been too busy doing Meet the Browns.
Yeah. Tyler
Perry
they
keeps
already
his people working.
But also to be fair, the Brown storyline felt a little extraneous in this film. So it makes sense that he wouldn't have been in the stage play.
The film's official marketing campaign included posters featuring Madea and spoofs of popular movies and TV shows such as Black Swan, The Godfather, True Grit, and Jersey Shore.
That's hilarious.
Wait, scroll down. You have to see Black Swan. Okay, wait. I'm going to share my screen.
These are great. The God
is hilarious.
The Godfather one is great. Like I'm excited to watch Madea be serious.
Georgia Shore.
Georgia Shore is glorious.
Yes. Also True Grits.
This is amazing.
He is really very funny.
He's so funny.
It feels like I have to keep being surprised every time, but he is. Like he's genuinely funny.
I gotta figure out how to get in one of these movies.
I was wondering a little bit through some of the scenes if he had ever been a stand-up comic.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think his
background is all plays. And being in them, but
because he writes jokes in a that would be like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, that's a very like basic like standard stand-up."
You're right.
Template. It was
I wonder if someone, I mean, it's too late now, but if someone just like walked or someone like edited Tyler's movies, like they might be like masterpieces. Because no,
I think they would
smart.
Be. He has the right idea.
He is good.
He extends monologues to, or extends dialogue too long, because mm-hmm. it turns into monologues. If he truncated a lot of stuff and then filled in more backstory, Big Happy Family could have been this like really incredible film about, you know, kids having to come together. Well, it would have been soul food, actually. Never mind.
But I will say, here's one joke that went on for too long. When was it? Is it Joe, the other character played by Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
Is it Uncle Joe?
Yeah.
When he's like, Uncle help Joe. Me, help me. And everyone's like, finally, like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, the floorboards, the joists are saying, help me, because y'all are too big. I was like, that was such a slow burn for such like a meh
yeah,
joke.
We worked too hard for so little.
Mm-hmm. I don't love that character. I kind of feel like I don't
think
need
I
him.
Like him either. Yeah. I would love him to retire Uncle Joe, because I love Madea so much that I'm like, who is him? No, we don't need this.
I agree. It sort of like takes away from Madea a little bit. I'm like, we don't really need this other Tyler Perry in costume thing. Like, I really just like the Madea character.
The mm-hmm. one. It felt a little the clumps.
Yes. And well, there's another movie where he does like a bunch of them. Yes. He,
oh, okay.
In which movie is that? Diary of a Mad Black Woman, where he's like yes. five people at some point?
Oh,
he
no, thinks thank so, you. Yes.
He plays like himself as like a handsome mm-hmm. man. Then he's like Madea. He's Uncle Joe. He's somebody else. I don't know. It's a lot.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I always like when he's himself personally.
I would love for him to just do like a definitive Madea family tree. Like if he just.
That would be nice. It would be very helpful for, I mean, this podcast and my life, because I'm going to continue. The next Madea movie that comes out in theaters, I'm going.
Oh my God, me too.
What's that show that they find your roots?
Oh my God. That would be so funny with Madea.
Yes.
That would be so funny.
If Madea finds her roots, it's the Harvard professor. God forgive me for forgetting his name now. Gates. If she went with Henry Louis Gates and found her like genealogy, and we've met all the Madeas in her family, I would love it.
And they go to like black and white photos of like him as other variations of Madea.
And it's in every grandmother or great grandmother is just the Madea in a different outfit from a different era. It would be amazing.
That would be so funny. I feel like he's probably going to do that for. I mean, that's kind of like the Maury thing. Like, you could just put that into one of those movies and have it just be like a side thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, well.
Tyler Perry.
We're coming to the end of our show, sadly. I mean, we could talk about it forever. But, Ray, do you have anything you want to plug? Obviously, the cast, which is great.
Yes. And we have an episode with you, Miss Lauren Lapp.
It's
coming soon.
It's very fun.
Which is going to be fun because she talks her expertise and we learn a lot and it gets really intense.
It does.
But, intense.
You know, podcast. Not intense.
We fought.
You know, I'm intense and she went with me.
Oh, okay. I love it.
So we have a podcast called The Cast wherein we watch random clips of, you know, historic moments in reality TV and we build the greatest cast of all time according to who we would like to invite onto our cast on that podcast. Based on that, I don't know English, whatever. But it's fun. And it's mostly just us really discussing our favorite reality TV moments from childhood that, you know, you look at very differently when you're 33. Like how when I thought Diddy was hilarious for making them get cheesecake when I was 13.
And then you're an
and
adult.
Now
you're
that
like,
I'm
no.
33, no motherfucker, you walking in that cheesecake. That sort of thing. And please, please, please watch a Black Lady sketch show on HBO Friday nights at 11 p.m. Also watch season one because I really like residuals. And season two, please enjoy yourself. We worked really, really hard
it's
and it should be
already
a blast.
So funny. I watched the first episode and
I gotta
great.
Watch it. The first season was so good.
Oh my God, obviously, yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
You were in it, Miss Nicole.
I know. I'm like, wait,
you playing
did you
humble.
See
it?
Watch my episode so I can get some residues.
Obviously. And now comes the time that everyone looks forward to where I say it's time for our five hallelujahs. This is our five-star review segment. And so this review comes from a Fish 28. If Nicole does not play Madea in Mabel, series, I will riot. If this podcast has taught me anything, it's that Nicole was born to play Madea in the new Showtime series. Please direct me to the petition because I will be signing. If someone has a petition going, we will promote it. So please let us know.
Let us know if there's a petition. I want it.
And then someone, Vivian P. Chen, says, 20 episodes, please. I've been a listener since season one, and this third season has gone above and beyond. The genuine delight that Lauren and Nicole feel watching Tyler Perry movies makes last season's entertaining but clearly painful Lord of the Rings deep dive worth it. I was unfamiliar with Tyler Perry's work before this podcast, and Lauren and Nicole are the perfect guides for sharing the mad genius that is Tyler Perry. We want more episodes. Don't stop at 10. Thank you, guys. So please go out there and give us 5 stars and leave a review. We will read more every week. And we'll be back next week with The Oval, I believe. And yes. If you are curious what we're watching, we tweet about it. HeadGum tweets about what the next thing is going to be if you want to watch with us. So be sure to check that out. And thanks so much, Ray, for being here. That was awesome.
Yes, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yay! Thank you. I had a blast. Honestly, this was great.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.